radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Sterling.
And I am Paul Strolley.
And this is State of the Art.
As always, brought to you by Breakdown Services. Delighted to be here. I'm very excited about the show today, Michael, and I think it's going to be wacky, to say the least.
I think it's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride. That's right. That's right.
I guess that's the most polite way to put it.
We're the only four people working in radio today, I think.
On Labor Day?
On Labor Day, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know that to be true, or
no,
are you just trying to sound authoritative with those dulcet vocal cords?
Authoritative, I suppose, because I questioned Paul earlier today about the fact, what is this holiday really celebrating? Is it
I'm not sure. I asked
the working man, the working man, and everybody's working because everything's open.
Well, let's we're all in labor.
Before we start talking about Labor Day, let's let the people who are listening know who the other voices
That's
in the
right.
room
Sorry,
are.
Sorry, jumped ahead of myself.
We are delighted to have truly one of figure skating's most luminescent stars and an icon in the sport. 5-time U.S. National Paris Champion and World Champion Ty Babylonia is with us today.
My God.
Ty
Yay.
Is here. Ty's in the house.
And look at she's skating
everyone.
On the rug. That's so cute. That's not ice.
People
Ty.
Don't realize it. She's skating. She'll be skating the entire show.
That's right.
Check, please.
It's radio. Radio. Go with it. It's radio.
We also have Paul, one of the most innately funny and talented people I know.
Thank you. That's very kind, Michael.
Maybe funny, funny is okay.
The one and only Michael Orland, Associate Musical Director for Television's American Idol, now entering its 10th season.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So old on American Idol.
Cool. I just said earlier, just a moment when you were closing the door to Michael, that we sat down 10 years ago and discussed this new job that he got called American Idol, and he was wondering what was going to happen.
An American Idol. What is this now?
Yeah.
American Idol thing? What is it?
It's a little talent show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I hope it catches on.
I hope it catches on. Also, we have to say, too, in the studio, too, we have Ty's son, Scout, is with us. Scout, give a shout.
Scout.
Give a shout. Okay, we can hear
That's
him.
Scout.
Okay.
Scout the tennis boy.
Thank you.
And as always, Paul, State of the Arts is powered by our friends at Breakdown Services.
I'm having a breakdown right now.
You are.
Don't mock the sponsor.
We love Breakdown Services. Are you kidding?
Breakdown Services is a global communications network and casting system that provides the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. And to learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
I'm going right now.
We're also pleased to welcome PerformingArtsLive.com, who's so generously supports our live arts calendar, which will be featured later in today's program.
Right.
So, Michael, how was your week?
It was okay.
What'd you do?
You know, the tail end of moving. Moving into a new home. Mm-hmm. And that's always taxing.
That's stressful.
It's very stressful. Yeah.
It is.
It's
highly.
Like the third most stressful thing Paul told me this recently.
What's
on the
first two?
No, it's a measurement of stress, physiological measurement of stress. Number one, death of a child. Mm-hmm. Number two, death of a spouse. Number three, moving. And oddly, number four, moving a dead spouse.
That's hard to
do. No, I heard it was divorce.
Okay, divorce is probably
divorce
up there.
Divorce isn't there, yeah.
It's life change units. It's a physiological measurement of stress called life change units. So,
oh,
anyway,
you could have said LCU, I would have gotten it.
You would have gotten it?
Yeah, we all know it by LCU, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So the move is wrapped up?
The move is done. It's over with. We couldn't be happier. The house is lovely.
When is the garage sale?
Soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you unpack yet, or you just moved in?
It's done.
It's done?
I'm 90% on the
unpacking. Like Dominic, kind of done.
Yeah. Furniture is in place.
Michael is so neat. You're a neat freak.
That's probably...
Are you a Virgo?
I'm a Virgo.
Yes,
so she's a Virgo.
Okay, and my moon's in Virgo.
There you go.
I'm not kidding. So
I can't tell from here.
Well, right now it's in the chair.
Come on. Paul's moon is somewhere over...
I've always been bummed that my sign is the disease. I always never wanted to be a Cancer. Of all the signs, I have to be the one that has a negative connotation.
Really? Oh. What is it? It's what? Not the Cancer?
Yeah.
Is your sign?
No, it's the other astrological sign named after a disease. Like,
okay.
The
big
that
C.
Sign. The little sign known, the big little C. known pink eye on the cusp.
Oh, that's...
Yes.
No, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's like the dullest... star in the sky,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes. Like Pluto, no longer a planet. Can I tell you about my week now? Can I tell you what happened to me?
I never got to finish about mine, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Just keep talking about your stressful move.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Please.
I've only met you guys moments ago, okay? Mm-hmm. And Michael has known you, and Scout I just met a moment ago. But I'm curious. I just want a immediate physical appraisal. Do I look like a weirdo or a unsavory person for some reason?
No, not to me at all.
No.
Okay. Not at all.
Okay,
no.
Good.
My
thank
first
you.
Impression.
No, because the,
you look nice.
Apparently the Los Angeles Public Library thinks I am an unsavory person, and uh-oh. I'll tell you what happened to me on Sunday. My friend Dean is moving, and he gave me a whole box of books to take to the Los Angeles Public Library to donate to the to their, you know, library.
Right.
And I go in, and I have a whole box of books, and I say, hi, where's the drop-off point for donations? And the woman looks at me and goes, no adult books, sir.
Oh.
What?
No adult books, sir.
Sir.
On the first glance. No, and I said, and then, so then I give her the benefit of the doubt. Okay, adult books, maybe she means like adult, like, you know, novels,
right.
like as opposed to children's books or whatever.
Right.
So I said, oh, you mean like novels or like that? She goes, no, porn.
Oh.
Oh, I love her.
Ow.
I'm like, wait a minute. I said, I'm not, and this is how I knew that she thought I was a weirdo. Because then I said, well, I'm not bringing a box of pornography to the Los Angeles Public Library.
Right.
And she says, oh.
Well, I would get how she would get that from you.
What?
All telling.
That is so odd.
And then she says, okay, well, we also don't take textbooks and encyclopedias. I was like, could you lead off with that next time? Could you say no encyclopedias, no textbooks? No, she starts off with, hi, welcome to Los Angeles Public Library. No porn, mister. Now, what would your reaction to that be? I just want to know if there's something about my physicality that emotes that.
Well, I don't think there's anything
like
unsavory
you look like that.
About you. A little bit of a perv look, but no,
yeah,
nothing
I like that.
Too serious. I've seen you in a raincoat before.
Well, that's not, you know, that is, do we really need to talk about that?
Well, it was an incident, wasn't it?
But they dropped the charges.
They did drop the charges.
I was acquitted. Let's move on. I don't like this topic anymore.
That's a strange story. That's very
no, but it's
odd.
A true story.
It's a true story.
Isn't
so
that?
So how did it end? I mean, where did you give the books?
Well, I gave the books, you know, and I just dropped them off. And then there was this whole like litany, this whole list of like qualifiers. It's really difficult to give books to a library in Los Angeles because, and I could certainly understand that they're understaffed and they don't want to have to sift through a bunch of junk.
Porn.
As it were.
As it were. And I just want you to know that I am now a volunteer at the Los Angeles Public Library.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's a cute ending.
Okay.
Let's
move on.
He wears orange
scary.
While he's doing it. Paul,
yes.
At lunch today, Paul and I have lunch every Monday, and we go over things that we want to talk about. And on the bulletin board of this restaurant that we go into, which is across the way here.
Okay.
Are you awake, Scout?
He's there. Okay.
I'm just checking on him, too.
All right. Was this a Los Angeles Times article on Robert Morse, the great Broadway star and motion picture star and now television star of Mad Men.
Yeah, Mad Men, yeah.
Yeah, with
yes.
John Hamm, my friend John Hamm.
Oh.
And his parents, you know, baked and canned.
Yeah, yes, that's John
I've worked with Robert. So. I think he's such a talented man.
And I said to Paul, you know, I'm not, as a publicist, for God's sake, I said, I'm not, opposed to going up to anybody and introducing myself, and I've been such a huge fan of his, I'm going to go say hello. And Paul goes, No.
Oh, you can't.
I get very
do
uncomfortable,
that.
Yeah.
So I didn't. And I was disappointed with myself, and we're getting ready then to come to the station, and Paul decided to walk over to the station because the restaurant's close enough. And I took this opportunity, went back into the restaurant, and I went over to Mr. Morris's table, and I said, Robert Morris, I'm Michael Sterling. We had a lovely conversation. I gave him my card, and I said, I'd love to have you on our radio show. He said, I'd love to do it. And I was so proud of myself, and right as I said that, his breakfast came. They served breakfast, and I said goodbye, walked out the door. I was just beaming at myself for doing this after Paul had chastised me, you know, for wanting to go over to a celebrity that was dining in a restaurant.
I think you get a good feel on it. And
you know, that's
what
I did.
I mean, Michael, that's your style. That's
and
what you
I
did.
Was like, you know, I'm happy-go-lucky in the parking lot with my keys in my hand, and I get in the car, and I think, oh, I can't wait to tell Strolley that I've done this. And I get in the car, and there's someone sitting in the car. Because I'm not in my car.
Oh, my God.
I'm in
thrown.
Someone else. Yeah.
In the wrong car.
In the wrong car. Yeah. And they looked at me, and I said, oops, I'm so sorry.
And they looked at and they looked at him and said, no porn.
Yeah.
Well, him, I get it.
Yeah.
But we need to move on now.
Okay.
Paul,
right? I'm delighted to introduce our first guest. In 1980, she and her skating partner, Randy Gardner, dominated Paris figure skating at the Lake Placid Olympics, where just moments before their first Olympic performance, Randy Gardner fell during the practice warm-up and injured himself enough to force the couple to withdraw from competition. However, as fate would have it, that moment catapulted America's Sweethearts into a career that has endured the test of time. Please welcome Ty Babylonia.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I'm so excited for you two.
Oh,
this
as
is
are
great.
We.
You, Ty. So
as
you can hear
we.
Us even up there in Ashland, Oregon, where you live.
That's right.
Yeah.
I love it there.
Do you?
It's
she's a native Los Angelino.
I don't know anyone who's gone up to Oregon who doesn't love it, so it must be just an amazing
place. And I was ready for it. You have to be ready.
Yeah. Doesn't it rain a lot?
No, it doesn't.
It's Seattle, I'm thinking of. Washington.
Yeah.
But I was ready for that change.
Yeah.
You know, I turned 50, and I'm doing everything that I did here in a calmer environment.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just
you
unplugged the appliances,
yes.
as they say.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we're radio and we're not visual, but Ty just said she was 50 or just turned 50.
No,
and
I'll be 51 soon.
And you look fantastic.
Thank you.
If I saw you on the street, I would say mid to late 30s.
In every way, I would.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not just saying that.
Thank you.
No, you're very striking.
She's always been a beauty.
Yes.
A beauty.
Well, you know,
they
say the eyes preserves us skaters. Because we all look pretty good.
You do.
Dorothy Hamill, Peggy Fleming, hot.
Yeah, you're right.
They are, both of them.
So there's something,
There's something in the ice. There's something in the ice.
That's right.
That's what Walt Disney said.
Now, Michael, you've known Ty for a while, right?
Known, and she's been a client of mine for years. I think we've known each other for 27 years, 26 years, something
Mid-80s,
like that.
Mid-80s, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And always a wonderful lady to represent and be a friend of, and she is engaged to a fascinating man who was my very first client when I started my own company, Mr. David Brenner.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's the world's longest engagement, I think.
7 years.
7 years.
A little break.
No,
almost like Guys and Dolls.
Monica and I were 13.
Exactly.
Monica and I were 13. We were engaged for 13 years.
13
Are you
years? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Oh, I don't feel so bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know,
I
David
like it like that.
David is an amazing guy and a very, very
hero
funny
of
guy.
Mine. Hero of mine, David Brenner.
He is amazing.
Well, you have a story about David.
I have a very brief story about David that he doesn't know. It's just as a viewer watching him. But on September 12th, 2001, the day after the towers came down, my wife's family was in town and we had planned to go to Las Vegas the next day. And of course, there were no flights anywhere.
Right.
Because I had David Brenner tickets. And he was performing, and we couldn't fly anywhere, so I said, you know what, let's just drive. It was their vacation, so it was like, you know, we have to do something. We can't sit, and we didn't want to be disrespectful to what took place, but we had to do something. Mm-hmm. So we got in our cars, and we drove to Las Vegas, and I said, well, the show's got to be canceled. It wasn't canceled. David performed on September 12th. He had a terrible cold. He was blowing his nose the entire time. And he burned the room down.
Wow.
And he opened it up with just like, you know, you have to laugh. It was amazing because it honored what took place and was not remotely disrespectful. And I will remember that forever.
That's
and please
great.
Pass that story
I will.
On
and
show.
Then he went on to do a full tour.
Yeah.
Because
no,
of that.
That's right.
Like,
that was kicking off the tour.
This is what we need to laugh.
Yeah. And
so
I
will tell him that.
Please. It was just
He's
wonderful.
Amazing. He's
it was
just
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Ty, tell everybody here that's listening today how you met David. I think that's kind of a fascinating story.
Well, that's funny because we're going to do a book at some point, like a he said, she said, because my version is different than his. It was really through Richard Lewis.
Right.
And a mistake Richard Lewis made with a restaurant called The Palm over on the west side.
Right.
Anyway, I was in a not so great relationship and at the restaurant, and I kept hearing laughter in back of me. And that was something that was missing in my relationship. So I just, you know, I got through the dinner thinking, who is that in back of me and I want to be there and whatever. So got through dinner, went by the table. It's Richard and David. The second I saw David, I knew I'm done. I'm done. I have to meet this person. Yet I had the soon-to-be ex in back of me. So, anyway...
Do I know that ex?
Oh, come on.
Possibly.
You
know,
yes,
possibly.
You do.
Oh, okay.
Decorum.
That's all right.
Everybody knows.
We've been through
no
many,
names.
Many things.
And
yeah,
you'll know
this
him, too.
Is the radio.
He's a wonderful songwriter. He wrote Piano in the Dark for Brenda Russell.
Oh.
Oh.
and I'll just leave it at that.
All right.
Anyway, so I
I was just going to say, suddenly Google
dinner.
Was humming.
What? I know.
20,000 people have Googled
it. Got through the
that
dinner,
now.
Ignored David, focused on Richard, because I knew if I talked to David, I was done, and I'd sit down, which is something I've done in the past, just sit down and talk.
Right.
So.
You've been known to, yeah.
Yeah. Got home, got on his website, wrote him a nice letter. He called, and that's sort of the short version. He has a different version.
That's great.
Oh, so
I didn't really know David from The Tonight Show, though. He kept saying, when did you see me? Didn't you? And I was little. I mean, 71.
Mm-hmm.
What, I was 11?
Yeah.
But I said, no, I remember seeing you on the Midnight Special.
Oh.
Because on Friday nights, yeah. I could stay up late.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and I was watching because Fleetwood Mac... It's so funny. Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks. Stevie Nicks ended up giving me this in 79.
Which she always wears.
But yes. I saw on the website. I was reading your website.
In the night that Fleetwood Mac was on Midnight Special, the host was David Brenner. So that's when I saw him.
And for those of you that can't see what she's wearing around her neck, it's a beautiful gold crescent moon.
I think she just mooned me.
Yeah, I mooned you. Summer of 79, she gave it to me.
So now, but speaking of jewelry, that's interesting because it's sort of a good segue because you are also the designer of your own jewelry. Is that true?
Jewelry, and I have a clothing line, which is on my website.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw that.
Tyedatlerney.com.
And it was interesting. I read about the clothing line, and it crosses a lot. It's not like specifically for skaters or for gymnasts, but it crosses a whole gamut of different types of people that will work for.
Yeah, and I wanted to target adult skating women.
Oh, okay.
Because there's really nothing for them to wear. So.
Oh, okay.
It's doing great.
Which is a smart idea, because otherwise it's sweatpants for them and a t-shirt.
Very flattering. Yeah.
Oh, that's
chiffon
true.
Chiffon skirts. Because
they have
really
all sorts
flattering
of things for the younger women or girls for that, but they don't have anything for them. That's a good market.
Very smart.
So it's what all is, on the website.
What is the website?
TyeBabylonia.com.
Now, don't confuse me with this stuff.
What?
It's just, okay. I always am embarrassed when I ask someone their website,
it's
just theirname.com. It's Paul, you probably could have figured that out on your own. So TyeBabylonia.com.
Yeah.
We won't mention that again.
Let me ask you something, Ty. Now, at the beginning of the show, we introduced you with the incident at the Olympics. And do you often think about what your life would be like had that not have happened? Had you gone on to win the Olympics, do you think it would have been the same life that you have now? Because I mean,
I think it's exactly the same.
You do?
I do.
Really?
I do. And I think I'm one of those who I think things happen for a reason. And with, it was a rough night, more for my partner. It brought us closer. And it brought the fans closer. They really identified with someone or two people who it didn't turn out the way the world wanted it to turn out. The media wanted it to turn out. And they just embraced us. And I can't thank the fans enough. And, of course, our family. But
right. It endeared you to a nation in a different way.
They saw that we were human.
Right, exactly.
He got hurt.
Yeah.
He got better. We went on to do, I think, exactly the same thing we would have done anyway.
But so few stars of skating, though, can say that they've endured this test of time for you, 30 years skating with Randy.
I know, it's pretty amazing.
And now having your
it's
own
amazing
separate careers and still
right
occasionally making personal appearances and so forth.
I keep trying to retire and, something will come up and I have to go look for the skates and put the skates on, but I still love it. I still enjoy it.
And she's wearing them now, ladies and gentlemen.
Which I love that she wore those.
She's a trooper.
Because I thought she was so tall, but then I was just like,
I'm not tall.
Well, you're also doing something that is a first for you. You're writing a column in a magazine.
I write a column for
International Figure Skating
Magazine.
The premier magazine of figure skating.
Yes, the number one skating magazine. And it's Ty Talks to the Legends.
And how has that been for you?
I love it. I love it. I just interviewed Linda Fradiani.
Oh, okay.
And that should be out
Linda
next month. You know Linda? Yeah.
Yeah. Who else have you done? Did you do Dorothy Hamill?
No, not yet. I did Janet Lynn, Mr. Nix, our coach, Robin Cousins, A. Toy Wilson. I've done about Don Jackson. I don't know, maybe 12 I've done.
Yeah.
I love it. I love writing.
And do you get a lot
and
of...
how long have you been... I'm sorry, Michael.
No,
go on.
I was going to say a lot of fan response.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because people want to know about these us past skaters.
Well, and also the perspective that you bring to it. You know the right questions to ask. You
right
have that... You have live in that world,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and most of them are my friends.
Right.
And, you know, who I competed with and toured with for years.
I'm curious about something, because I don't think I've ever met anyone that had a movie of the week created on their life. And I'm just curious.
That's so wild.
What? That's, I know. It's just got to be surreal.
It's surreal.
I mean, there really is no other word for surreal.
Yeah.
Than surreal for that. I mean, what is that like, seeing your own?
Freaky. It's freaky. It's, and I did it really to sort of clean my slate, because all the whole decade of the 80s, I had a really bumpy ride.
Sure, sure.
Just abusing whatever I abused. It was bad. So we did a cover story for People magazine. And NBC saw that, and they offered us the movie of the week. So we did it. And we did it in Toronto for, I think, 8 weeks. There were three ties, the little tie, the middle tie, and the older kind of wild tie.
The tie tie.
And the tie tie.
And the Mai Tai.
So it was great. It was surreal. Denise Nicholas, remember her from Room 222?
Of course. Yes, yes, yes.
She played my mother. Who played Mr. Nix? Oh, gosh. William Daniels?
Oh, William Daniels from 1776.
Right.
And St. Elsewhere.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's
played
impressive.
Played the coach, yeah. It was,
we're in
it
the
was
performing
great.
Arts, Michael.
Evidently.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was great. It was great.
So do you find, I mean, you mentioned that you had a bumpy ride during the 80s, as many of us did. Many of us had
a
rough time.
Live to tell.
Speak for yourself.
I had trouble in the 80s, Michael.
Did
look
you?
Look at this nose. You think I'm in a waste surface area like this?
Hey now.
but when intimate aspects of your life like that or elements that you have to recover from happen and they are portrayed, you know, in a movie of the week,
is that
in of itself therapeutic for you to see that? Is it an interesting perspective? Do you feel like you're looking in on your own life? It just fascinates me.
Right. Well, you have to remove yourself.
Okay.
And it was like I was looking at someone else's life. Just like when I click onto YouTube and watch old footage of Ty and Randy. It's like they're like two different people to me.
There's like a clarity from removal.
Right. And I had to do that because there was an identity problem for me, not for Randy, for myself.
Okay.
Being associated with Ty and Randy for more than 30 years and then all of a sudden trying to break out of that, it was tough for me. Not so much for Randy, but for me, I had a hard time.
That's right.
So I lashed out in you know, not so healthy ways.
Well, you know, and you had various people portray your character at the different ages. And but when it came to the skating, as you were adults, you and Randy did the skating
we
in the
did
movie.
The, yeah.
Because who else could do
awesome.
It?
That's awesome.
Who else could do it but them? They're the most graceful, you know, twosome on the ice, really, ever in the sport.
Thank you.
Really. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
So
absolutely. That had to be also unusual to be there present for the filming and all that and then have to actually play a slice of your own life.
It was surreal in some days because it got, you know, it got real dark where I just didn't go to the set.
Yeah.
I had to walk away from it and remove myself. I got too emotional.
Yeah, no, as I'm sure you would. And I don't mean to harp on it. I'm sorry if
that's
I'm
okay.
wrong, but
no.
it fascinates me. But I never thought about something you said earlier about the identity aspect of things because, you know, really, for someone like me who knew of you but certainly didn't follow figure skating specifically, you know, you always heard those names together. You know, it's Ty Babylonia and Randy Gardner. You always heard them together.
Ty and Randy.
Yeah. So I never.
At least you went first. Thank God.
He's always thinking of billing this guy.
Oh,
always
yeah.
with
right.
the billing. He's
even
miffed.
Today, it's Ty and Michael.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he's miffed about being
Ty
second.
David.
No, I am so honored to follow this one. Are you kidding?
Well, that's what
he
said as soon as he walked in. He said, hi, I'm a big fan.
I'm
and
such
I said,
a huge
oh,
fan.
You
know,
you.
And I thought
thank
he was talking to me, of course.
No, I wanted the porn from you.
That's a callback, ladies
sorry,
and gentlemen.
Sorry.
That's a callback.
Excuse me.
That's a good one.
You know, and I must say that your beautiful son, Scout, who's with us in the studio, as we said at the top of the show, Paul.
Say handsome. Don't say beautiful.
He's
say handsome.
Handsome.
He's a beautiful face. He's a handsome.
What would you
guy.
Rather be, Scout? Beautiful or handsome? Which would you prefer?
Handsome.
Say what I tell you.
Well, I mean that in that way. I've just known him since he was a baby. You know?
Oh, okay.
It
okay,
goes
Uncle
so
Michael.
Fast.
So, a
yeah.
baby. And his name, which is so awesome, Ty, came from?
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh.
And we said, Scout's father and I said, girl or boy, it was Scout. So.
It's a great name.
I love it.
It's a movie star name.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to happen.
Are you happy with the name, Scout? Are you happy with it?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very cool name. I have them.
I'm so proud of Scout.
Wish I had a cool name like that.
Not bad on the eyes out there.
No, it's a good-looking kid.
Looking for a
I can't believe I have a teenager.
And I think, and you said he looked like Miguel Ferrer. I think he's significantly better looking than.
Oh, I do too. He was just reminiscent of Miguel, who's a friend of mine, and I've known Miguel since he was a little boy. So.
Right. Okay, so then I just insulted Miguel Ferrer then.
You did.
Yeah. Okay.
They'll be cool. Don't send any letters, Miguel. So. Thank you, Ty, for coming on and,
thank you
and
for
joining
having me.
Us and sticking
thank
around.
You.
You're going to stick around for the rest of the show.
She must.
I am. He next.
I no, must have her here. Next to me.
I also want to spell it for those people that might not know the spelling, so we get it right so people can check out her awesome website, which, by the way, the photography on the website is stunning.
I did that in New York last year on a rooftop.
Oh, and it's so cool.
It was actually raining, and they were... kind of a sidebar to that, it was the first photo session that I've done sober in all these years. I'm almost 2 years sober. So.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
that's wonderful.
You.
Happy
that's
birthday
thank
coming
you.
Up.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Thank you. So that was, it was very emotional, that photo shoot. I'm very proud of it.
It comes across. They're beautiful shots, and they're very evocative. And I talked about it, and I felt that way before I even knew the back history. So it says right there that
so much
that
for
you
anonymous.
Could take those right to the library.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Nice.
I didn't want to tell anyone. I saw her at my meeting.
www.taibabilonia, tybabilonia.com. Check out the awesome site, and we're just so grateful to have you on,
Ty.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ty.
We have an arts calendar, ladies and gentlemen, to read for the week of September 6th.
We have an arts calendar to do. Yes, we do.
The Mark Taper Forum at the Music Center of Los Angeles is offering a Labor Day special. See the Glass Menagerie with television star and two-time Tony Award-winning Broadway star Judith Ivey for just $25 in Section A at the Mark Taper Forum for all performances now through September 8th. Otherwise, you can catch the Glass Menagerie on stage at the Taper through October 17th. One of the greatest American plays finds new light in this critically lauded reimagining of the classic story of a fragile family hanging its hopes on the arrival of a gentleman caller. Director Gordon Edelstein's sparkling new production makes this menagerie as fresh and vital and sadly magical as its original 1944 debut.
More fun than a barrel full of yuppies.
Oh, Paul, before you go into that...
I'd like to talk about my barrel full of yuppies, but go ahead.
Give 1 minute, because of what we were just talking about, the Glass Menagerie, and the fact that it's a classic, your theater company, Sea Glass Theater,
yes.
is getting ready to do... A satire on John Steinbeck.
On John Steinbeck. It opens September 18th. I'm directing it.
And it's called Of Grapes and Nuts.
Of Grapes and Nuts.
That's
a spoof.
Oh,
it's
like
a spoof
that.
Of, obviously, of Mice and Men and the Grapes of Wrath. I was in the original production in 1990 in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so 20 years later, we're doing the anniversary production, and it's hysterical. I mean, it's funny anyway,
right.
but if you know of Mice and Men and the Grapes of Wrath, it is apoplectically funny.
Really?
I mean, it is choke on your own laughter. We were supposed to run in Chicago for, I think, 6 weeks, and I think at the end of the day, I think it was something like 6 months. And, you know, when you consider there was just a, you know, little storefront theater. But very, very funny play. Seaglasstheater.org.
That's
right. Seaglass Theaters, with the affected spelling, RE.org. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice little plug there.
Yeah.
More fun than Barrel Full of Yuppies. The Pulitzer Prize-nominated show Boy's Life, which opened on Broadway in 1988, is on stage now through September 12th. At LA's Crown City Theater, critically acclaimed by the New Yorker magazine as one of the most intelligent comments on the battle of the sexes, the play explores the male psyche in society and the relationships men and women forge with one another.
Must be a one act.
The whole show's 6 minutes. Yeah.
it's a workshop production.
Megan Mullally.
I got a spit take.
A spit take.
Yes, you can't see it on the radio, but I got a spit take.
My wattage is broke.
Oh, there you go. And we're talking...
Labor Day, hello.
Hello.
That's right.
Megan Mullally, who earned 2 Emmys and a legion of adoring fans with her portrayal of Karen Walker on the NBC classic series Will and Grace, returns to the stage of the Orange County Performing Arts Center in Costa Mesa, California in her one-woman cabaret concert October 7th through October 10th. Don't miss this multi-talented star and versatile singer who can perform everything from country to rock to Broadway showstoppers and more.
Speaking of showstoppers, Michael, you
yes.
had a debut last night of Blake MacIver Hewing at Sterling's
How
Upstairs.
Was I wanted to come
I
to
did.
That, and I had
you
a session.
You know what?
How was it?
You missed one of the best nights ever in my life.
You know, I worked with him once when he was a yeah. little kid.
Yeah.
When he was a little, he opened for Sam Harris when we were doing a concert.
He's in his young 20s.
Yeah.
Stunning show. It was like he had been doing this all of his life.
And it was his first
it
cabaret.
It was his first cabaret.
Right? Good for him.
The
so
room
glad.
Was
sorry,
packed with everybody in the Broadway community. There was anybody, Nita Whitaker, all of these folks were there. Jay Johnson
yeah,
was
Bob
there.
Bob Garrett told me he was
Bob
going.
Bob Garrett was there.
Sure.
Wow.
And it was stunning. I mean, his musical selections, everything from you know, certainly the Broadway stage to Great American Standard Classics, like The Best Is Yet to Come, to pop, to original music. And his storytelling. It was the title of the show was Musical Confessions of a Child Co-Star.
Great.
And every section was a musical confession, which was the music
really
that he was opting to
go.
And we had him on the show. Was it last week or the week before?
The week before.
The week before.
Yeah.
And just a more charming, kind, pleasant kid. I mean, he was just great. I mean, I'm sorry that I couldn't make it, but
I'm sorry you couldn't be there too. We had an amazing turnout of people.
Yeah, there were no seats left, so it was actually good you didn't come.
Well. Usually I just stand outside in my raincoat.
There you go. Just remember that.
Yeah.
With your books, yeah. trying to sell the books.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, it's a big mover over there on Tahunga.
There you go. But thanks for asking about that. Blake is destined to do concerts now. I mean, this is a new niche for him because he's a very good actor as well.
Well, for further information about any of the productions and or events mentioned in today's State of the Arts live calendar, visit us during the week at stateoftheartsla.com. That's stateoftheartsla.com. And we also suggest you drop in at performingartslive.com, where you can search for Southern California events in several different categories happening every day of the week. And that's our arts calendar.
Yes, indeed. And, of course, I was referring to Blake's concert performance at Sterling's Upstairs at Vitello's. Did I say that?
Yes.
I did
say
that?
Yes,
oh,
you did
say it again.
You did say Sterling's,
Upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Just look for the guy with the raincoat. Okay.
You even put your name on the microphone, which I love.
I know, Michael.
It's Michael Sterling
did you see
Audio.
That is so true.
See that?
You see?
They should be a sponsor.
Big things come in small packages.
I'll be the judge of that.
Can I move on, please, before we go there again?
Yes, you may.
Our next guest, the guy with the comment. Our next guest can proudly claim that since its inception almost 10 years ago, he has been a part of what instantly became a television reality variety series phenomenon. He is currently the pianist, arranger, and associate musical director for the hit Fox television series American Idol. Please Woo! Welcome Mr. Michael Arlen.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
Look
sir.
At you. Kai is doing a triple sow cow
she
right
is.
Now. I love
it. I am so impressed. That is so cool.
That's 10 fine. Years, Michael.
Do you believe
You're coming
it?
Coming up on 10 years.
I'm going to be joining AARP in season 11, I
Oh, I'm a member.
Are you?
Yes, I am.
They found you in Oregon.
I got
in
my
Oregon.
Card. Yep.
Good.
No, we're not talking about AA. We're AARP.
Oh, AARP. Yeah, she got
not
a card.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
I was only going
Nothing
off.
Nothing like a good recovery joke, Michael. Great.
Very good.
Yes. Yes.
I was like, wait, no, she got it. Okay.
I got it.
Okay. And
so,
then
Michael,
I'm a member
tell
of
me
AAA.
About this American yeah. Idol thing.
Well,
what
I
is
think
it?
It's going to last for a while. You know what? It's so much fun. We just finished doing our auditions for season 10, although they just announced that they're going to add Los Angeles.
I saw that.
Coming up on
paper,
September
yeah.
22nd at the Forum in Los
wow.
Angeles. So
cool.
I can't wait for that. It's really fun. You know, this is like about 4 years ago, I said to my boss, how come, you know, there aren't musical people going out on the road to, like, hear these people sing? Maybe there's a good singer being passed up. And they went, okay, what are you doing? Let's go. So now for the last 4 years, I've gotten to go on the road for the auditions, and it's actually my favorite part.
Really?
I'm sure.
I love doing it. I love doing it. Because, you know, you hear a lot of, you know, not as great singers, and then when one just happens, it makes you look up and go, whoa, this is something.
And you get to see it really in its raw form before,
oh, yeah, really raw.
Before the pop.
Like steak That's tartare.
Great. So are you in a pre-screening situation on the road?
I exactly, mean, yeah. We pre-screen before, and then the executive producers do another screening, and then they go see the judges. So,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nobody could sit through 10,000 people in a
oh, yeah,
stadium.
Oh, yeah,
you could
sift it through, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it's a lot of people from the music team and a lot of the producers that sit through and screen. So it's great. It's great because years ago, like, not everybody got, you had to, like, get to line up, and you, a certain point they cut off the line.
Right.
But now everybody that comes gets to go on and perform and gets to go audition. So it's great.
Oh, okay. So because they have, because of the screening process, they're able to see.
They see
more,
everybody.
They see everybody.
Nobody gets turned away. You sign up for 2 days, so you get a number, you go home, and then you come to show up on an audition day. So it's great.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
I didn't know that.
I thought
for sure it was one of those. When you see the length of those lines,
oh,
you immediately think that it's just going to be a cutoff thing. Like, you know, you don't make the...
Yeah,
you know,
no, but now they see everybody, which is great. No sleeping outside. It's very...
Ah, civil.
Wow.
Very civil.
I always find when we have these guests on that have things that are currently on television, that we focus so much on that that we don't get a chance to focus on what they did in their lives to get them to that point. And I'm reading this thing here.
I want
to
know.
The people that you've collaborated with,
oh, Michael,
Burt Bacharach, Neil Sedaka, Diane Warren, Elton John, Dolly Parton, Jennifer Lopez, Tony Bennett, and all of these
A lot of it was through, because of American Idol, I got to work with those people. I have to tell you that one of the biggest reasons that I got on American Idol was because at one point I worked with Barry Manilow, who I just got to go to Las Vegas and see his new show and thank him. I say I thank you every day because of working with on his show, I met Deborah Bird and Kevin Bassenson, who were the whole music team on season one, and they're the ones that called me in to help them because they knew me from Barry's show.
Great.
So it's really because of Barry, I always say, I got my job on American Idol. But
you know, Michael, Ty's father-in-law, Artie Butler,
wrote
some great songs for Barry.
Fan of,
yeah, Barry's great. And our friend Mark Hewlett.
Right.
Mark is the greatest.
Isn't he the best?
He just
Love
wrote me a
Mark.
Little note.
Did he?
This morning.
He wrote me a threatening letter. That
oh, he did?
Yeah.
Did you get one, too?
I got it.
You got it, too.
Yeah, it was
yeah, I got the package.
She sent something else, and I couldn't read the end.
That Facebook thing is...
Huge.
But no, but you all right. You, there might have been those things as a result of American
but
Idol.
But I did listen. But before that, I got like Kay Ballard, Shecky Green. No, I got to work with like legends before that.
I saw that on your website. Yes, I saw that on your website. It was just like, I mean, any juice there? Any sort of juicy tales? It's got to be a good Kay Ballard story.
Oh, there are the greatest.
Hanging off a
actually,
chandelier.
Actually, I'm going to New York at the end of the month to do a. I'm doing two private parties with John Lloyd Young, who's the original Jersey Boy star.
Of course.
And Kay said, "Oh, I'm going to be in New York when you're there because she's going to do the Joy Behar show. So we're gonna.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna have breakfast. I go out and visit Kay all the time in Palm Springs because we both love to gamble.
Nah.
So
there you go.
She says, "Honey, will you come down and let's rehearse a little? So we go rehearse for about 30 minutes, and then we go to the casino for like 8 hours.
Oh, my God. That's too fun.
She has to come and do your show.
We would love to have her. And our guest next week, Donna McKechnie.
Oh, yeah.
Is doing a show with Kay.
And Lillian Margulies.
And Lillian Margulies. Yes.
Yes. So, yeah. So, anyway, that'll be fun.
And
Scout, you got so tall.
I'm telling Scout to go sit. Scout
is just sort of wandering around, but it's okay. So long as he doesn't hit the table or, you know.
But Artie Butler, seriously, I think he's so talented. And, you know, his song, Here's to Life, I've played in every key.
Oh, my gosh.
I've played it in every key.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's beautiful. Yeah.
He did the arrangement on Copacabana, right?
He did a lot. I know he did a ton of Barry.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amazing.
So talented, yes.
And, you know, Michael, you... I found something interesting I didn't know about you in your bio was that you...
Can we talk about that on the radio?
Of course
we
can.
They dropped the charges. We can talk.
Well, is that he is now a published author.
I saw it's a
best-selling book,
Chicken Soup
for the American Idol Soul.
Yes, it's a really fun book. You know what? They came and came into Idol about three seasons ago, and they, you know, interviewed like a lot of the top idols and a lot of the people behind the scenes and a lot of fans. And it's a really, really great, sweet, uplifting book. And so I was so honored to do a little chapter and tell my little story.
That's great.
You know, it was
That's
like,
great.
You know, the Vanna White autobiography, 2 pages. It was perfect.
No. 2 pages, oddly enough, but no vowels.
No
vowels.
I haven't moved my vowels in 3 days.
Good vowel movement.
You're giving Paul an arsenal of material.
So good.
Believe me.
What? You think I'm writing these down?
I don't think so.
Vowel movement.
No, Ty said that.
I said vowel movement.
Okay, sorry. All right. Then
I now want some Thai food, too.
I like
that.
Thank you.
I like that.
Being with Ty tonight, now I'm going to have Thai food tonight for dinner.
Why? Oh, my.
And Ty went on.
That's right.
All right.
Right.
Hey, Michael, let me ask you something. Seriously, now, you, when you go through this process every year, and it must be like, I mean, you obviously become quite a family, you know, during the process,
right? Absolutely,
yes. But do you know, do you have a sense, right from the get-go, once these kids are selected, who is really going to be that standout person that's going to, maybe somebody coming up from the back, you know?
Yeah, see, well, that's what I love about American Idol. There's a lot of times the person who is so great when they start, mm-hmm. who stays great mm-hmm. all the way, they don't do as well as the person who America likes to watch grow and grow and grow
who
and get up, and
the
they
kind
of root for that person. Built. So, like, people like Chris Allen, he came out of nowhere. A lot of people in the past who, like, you know, it's not till, even Kelly Clarkson in season one, she didn't, like, even appear on the radar till, like, the middle of the
That's
show.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like, nobody took her as a winner.
For me, she appeared on the radar when she did that song.
Big
from,
Band.
Yes, the Big
yeah,
Band song.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought, what?
Stuff like that
what?
There. I agree
Absolutely.
With that. Yeah, that was...
Do you remember Kelly Clarkson?
I remember Kelly Clarkson, very much so.
Phenomenal when she
I don't remember that particular performance, but I remember, obviously remember.
I think it was kind of a turning point for her, wasn't it,
yes.
that performance?
Yeah, it was definitely. Absolutely.
And, of course, we've never heard her sing like that again.
No, but you know what? She can sing like that,
well,
which
obviously.
Is so which is awesome. That's the other thing I love about the show. In the although contestants kind of find like a loophole with it now, that show is so fantastic because it's designed to make everybody at some point every week be out of their comfort zone. But a lot of people have gotten, you know, like Adam Lambert, when we did Disco Week, he took a disco song and we made it into like a killer ballad for him, which is what. But he was still being legit, but. You know, in the past, before that,
right.
before they all know how to do that, it was fun watching the rock and roll guy trying to sing a show tune. It just was uncomfortable and miserable, and it was fun.
Well, you know, but, Adam Lambert, I mean, goodness, you know, here's a boy that you and I have known
yeah.
for...
Well, I didn't know him, really, and we have so many mutual friends, but
right.
I didn't really... I know he's been in the, you know, done so much L.A. theater before.
Right, and you know, this was his dream to be a rock and roll guy, and it just wasn't happening for him. He was making a living in the theater.
Right.
You know, he was doing
know
Wicked
that.
Forever.
Was he really?
Yeah,
I didn't know
contagious.
That. I don't know his background.
And if it
at
wasn't
all.
Wicked, it was something else.
Okay.
Yeah, he's done a lot of theater. He did a
he's
lot of
so great.
Stuff.
Well, it's a phenomenal voice. And when you
great.
See him in a benefit concert where he's just doing one number of, you know, there's 30 people on the bill.
Right.
Who stills the show? And
of
I'm talking
course.
About before. It would be him. He'd take
mm-hmm.
the roof off
yeah.
the place, you know. And
yeah, he's unbelievable.
So for him to actualize his dreams, and he didn't win.
Nope. But you know,
that's
a lot
what happens,
of people.
Though.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the thing: is that I used to get literally so upset when somebody didn't win that I loved, or somebody got voted off earlier than I thought they should. I used to get devastated.
Right.
But I remember when Jennifer Hudson got voted off in season 3. I literally was like sobbing. I was like, "What is going on with America? How could they not vote for this girl?" But you know, when you find after a while, you see all these people. It's like. It's like how they had that accident, you know, and he fell. It's like it was meant to be.
Right.
So, you know
exactly.
what I mean?
I
it's like
that.
If that, I believe it too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some of those people, Chris Daughtry came in fourth place. He's got a huge career. It's like if it's...
Look
if
at Jennifer Hudson.
Yeah. Look at Jennifer
yeah.
Hudson.
If that connection is already made, it's already made.
I think so,
whether
too.
Or not they
right.
actually take home the prize
I think it's
is not
huge,
really
right.
the important thing.
It's
Absolutely.
A huge platform for them no matter what, and I think that... Like that accident that happened, people just have something to root for, and you know,
right.
and that's that human thing.
Right, the underdog.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah that's and, what I mean. That's why the show is interesting. I mean, really, that's as big a part of it as the singing.
Absolutely.
Is how America embraces. I mean, it's American Idol. Is how America
absolutely.
Embraces these people and follows them. And you know, the fact that Adam Lambert didn't win, I mean. There's,
it didn't matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Adam and Chris both have huge careers, yeah. and they're doing great. They're both doing great. And Adam didn't need to win to have the same. He's having an incredible career. You know, they were really smart with him. They put him on a tour, and he's playing these smaller houses, like 2,000-4,000 seats,
mm-hmm.
not these huge arenas.
Right.
And you can't get a ticket for it.
Right.
And so that
wow.
was the smartest thing they did. And one and another fellow idol, Allison Irohita, who I was yeah. a huge
amazing.
Fan of.
Amazing.
She is opening for him. So it's like a killer combination.
Great.
Every time they play any city, you can't get a ticket.
And nothing sells
wow.
better than a sold-out show.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
right. Exactly
yeah.
right.
He'll
so
be around a long time.
He will be around forever.
Yeah.
yeah. He's working on a new album now. I think he's so talented. It's crazy.
And when you're working with them on their song choices, I know they're given a list of songs to choose
right.
from.
Yes,
is that correct?
They are given a list, and then if they can also bring something to the
to
plate
the
if it's as long as it fits within the category and everything. So.
Do you sing, Paul?
I used to when I was younger. I sang a lot when I did shows in college, and I did shows in high school and a little bit after that. I didn't stick with it, though, but I've always wanted to go back and sort of like reawaken that part of myself, because when I did sing in musicals, I usually got decent parts.
Let's get the piano.
I did
right
Tony
now.
And West yeah, Side yeah. Story, and I did Jesus and Jesus Christ Superstar. So I
the all Jewish version. It was yeah. great. I loved it.
Italian.
It was the condo tour. I remember.
The all Jewish version of Jesus Christ Superstar, or in short, We're Sorry.
Oh. You're killing me.
Right. I have a question.
Yes.
Is Paula Abdul coming back?
You know, I only wish. I mean, Paula.
I miss her.
Kara's out now.
Randy's the only person. People call me and say, What's happening? I go, I don't know. I read the same blog you did. I have no idea. But Paula Abdul is my. She's forever my girl. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And okay. I love her so much. It's ridiculous.
Everyone loves her.
I wish, you know, but she's got a new show on CBS, a new dance show that's going to be happening at the same time.
But I thought Simon was going to bring her into the X Factor.
Well, that could happen too. That could happen too. That's not happening till like the fall of next year.
Ah. Okay.
So, but I love Paula Abdul. I think that would be incredible if she came back, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
Wow.
Should we call her right now?
So it's Randy and Ryan.
God love Randy.
The only two people.
Yeah.
Left.
And me. I'm coming
and you.
Back.
And you.
Yeah.
It's a great gig.
Thank God.
Did you ever think about that aspect of things? Did you ever, would you ever like to, like, for an episode or just judge?
No. At some point, I always thought it would be fun to, like, do a little, like, a bubble that comes up and go judging the judges. And, like, let's, like, give the people
funny.
At home to, like, explain what they just said.
That would be
I think
it would
be really cute. Just, like, a little... bubble pops up and we go, I don't
like
know.
Like a pop-up video.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Randy was just talking about. What do you mean that they were pitchy? That was not pitchy.
Dull.
You know, and all that stuff. But whatever. I think it'd be cute. But no, I'm happy at my job and happy what I do there, and I'm content.
You got a great
I have the greatest gig in the world.
Speaking of jobs, we have to, one of the things that we like to talk about in this wrap up the show.
We
have about 4 minutes
now.
Left.
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm a wreck.
There's one... We're just curious, and if either of you, whoever's the first is to answer this, but there's always sort of an embarrassing story that everyone has that happened to them performing-wise. Just an awkward thing or an onstage embarrassing
moment.
I have one.
You do? Okay. Can you share it with us?
I will share it with you. It actually happened. I was playing with this cabaret singer. Her name is Sharon McKnight.
Oh, yes.
Who you know. And she's from San Francisco, so every year she would do a big concert at the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco, and the place was packed. And she said to me, we did like a quick sound check that day. It was all light in there, so I didn't even see what the setup was and everything. She said, after the encore, come off stage. And she goes, if they're screaming for more, we'll go do another number, but if not, just let's leave it. So we do an encore, and they're screaming. I go to get off the stage, and I had not remembered from the morning that the staircase only went halfway across the width of the stage. So I went to go step off the stage and think I was going to the stair, and I fell. And I got off. And it was only a few steps. I didn't get really hurt, but I didn't have a good lawyer then either. But anyway, so I go down, and I go to the back, and now the whole audience is chanting, Sharon, Sharon. I go, I just fell. I can't go back out there. I'm so humiliated. She's like, honey, it was dark. Nobody saw you. As long as you're okay. Are you okay? I said, I'm okay, but I just can't go back out there, please. And they're going, Sharon, Sharon. I go, please don't do another song. I can't go back out there. I'm humiliated. She goes, come on, they didn't see you. So we go back out there, and I'm sitting at the piano, and she sets up the last song, and she's in the middle of setting up, and I play the intro, and before she starts singing, some lady from the balcony yells out, is he all right?
Oh, how funny.
I literally wanted to.
Oh my God.
That's my embarrassment.
How to steal somebody else's thunder.
That's a good one.
And Ty?
I think it was probably mid-80s. Maybe when you were on tour with us.
Yeah.
I would wear a fall, like a ponytail.
Yes.
A false ponytail. And I think it came undone and flew onto the eyes. And there's really nothing you can do except leave it. So
yeah.
I was ponytail-less.
And someone from the audience goes, who killed the squirrel?
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Just like
squirrels on ice.
Well, you know, I had an episode with a fall. once when I was working on the tone. On the
fall.
What?
Fall? The fall. The thing.
Oh, the hair.
Your hair extension. Oh. It wasn't my hair extension.
Yeah.
But I was. I used to do warm up for the Jenny Jones show. I used to warm up the studio audience. God. And there was a fight on. This was a moment of a career move for me. This is when I realized, you know what? Maybe I want to do something other than this, because I was backstage after warming up the studio audience. There was a fight on stage. Someone's hair. Weave was pulled out and she hurled it off stage, and I'm just sitting off stage and I'm hit with someone's hair.
A busted weave.
You know, oh my God.
I went
awesome.
To college for this. Bam!
Oh my
hit
gosh.
By a hair weave. So that was when that's I decided oh that gosh. Was the time. Anyway, we are have to wrap up because we are at 49 minutes.
No.
But coming up next week, we have Tony Award winner Donna McKechnie is with us. And is it Eric Bergen from
Eric
the
Bergen.
Las
Eric
Vegas
Bergen.
And U.S. National Tour of Jersey Boys and Seaglass Theater's Ian Vogt is with us. So thank you so much for coming, both of you. Michael
thank
Ty,
you.
Scout,
for
thanks for coming with us.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you
thank
all.
Thank you for putting us with time. I mean, with time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This was so fun.
Bye, everybody.
We'll have to hang out. Bye.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.